The 19th Hole Golf Show. I'm Ryan Ballingy, and it's good to have you here with us. You can get a hold of me on Twitter at Ryan Ballingy. You can follow Golf News Net on your favorite social media service at Golf News Net. And may I recommend you follow us on Twitter, because we're giving away a ton of stuff from here on to about the end of October. So you might want to get on that with a Twitter follow immediately at Golf News Net. And you can download our Roku app. We are getting in the very, very close stages of having an Amazon app up, hopefully this week, if not next, and then the Apple TV app coming soon thereafter. Of course, you can find all of our work on golfnewsnet.com. We are presented by BetDSI. BetDSI.com has been in the business of paying winners for more than 20 years. They're an A-plus rated sports book. You can use your sports knowledge and make some extra cash with their easy-to-use mobile playing interface. You have odds on everything golf-related, from special matchups and props to live in-action tournaments to your winners every week, which we use for our odds on our website as well. It has odds on everything else, too. Major sports, politics, reality TV. You can kind of go down the line. And if you go to BetDSI.com and enter the promo code GOLFNEWS25, you're going to get a free $25 wager just for registering. And if you choose to deposit, you'll get a 200% bonus match on your money. Once again, go to BetDSI.com, use that promo code GOLFNEWS25, get that free $25 wager on the house, and your 200% extra bonus deposit. All right, we've got plenty to talk about, and I want to start on the LPGA. We didn't do a podcast toward the tail end of last week. A lot of things going on. Had a wedding where there was a penguin at the ceremony. Lots happening. Was in a scramble that you may have seen me complain about a little bit on Twitter, if you follow me there. But let's start with the LPGA. Their Evian Championship is the fifth major. It became the fifth major in 2013, and it became that because it used to be the Evian Masters, and it used to be the biggest tournament on the Ladies European Tour, and it became a co-sanctioned event between the LET and the LPGA because it was played at the time of year where it kind of made a nice little twofer with the Women's British Open and the Evian Masters. And so they were getting pretty okay fields. And Evian said, we want to be a major. If we're going to do this, we want to be a major. The LPGA said, okay, we'll do that. So Evian made a commitment to improve Evian Golf Club, Evian Resort Golf Club. And they brought in Steve Smyers and his team. And Steve did not do the best received job in the world with his work. Seemed like he made a quirky course even quirkier. And the LPGA moved the date, so they kept the Women's British Open in July or August, kind of depending on what part of the year, but they moved the newly dubbed Evian Championship to September, and Evian just wanted to make it all about kind of themselves and the resort and France and water and stuff and having all kinds of parties every night, lots of social stuff, lots of VIP things. Frankly, too much of it from the sounds of things, even though the place is incredible and beautiful and remarkable. And unfortunately, they picked this point in the schedule in September where they must bottle all the Evian water for the year in September, because it rains constantly in that month. And it seems like every year this tournament is played in September that there's some kind of massive rain delay or problem with the golf course. So in 2013, the first year was a major, they shortened it to 54 holes. Suzanne Pedersen won. Bad look. Majors should be 72 holes. I don't care. I don't care what your argument is. Paige McKenzie had a good argument. You know, there's more to consider. There's events. They have the resort. They've got flights for caddies and players, blah, blah, blah. This is a major championship. In 2014, they came back to a slightly reworked golf course, and it had taken on so much rain over the course of the season, the summer and the early fall. It's not really officially fall, but the summer, that they had so many different tarps on greens and tees. It was embarrassing and bad. And then they had a couple of good years, 15 and 16. Certainly 16 with Lydia Ko winning. With Injie Chen winning last year was cool. But even that was a problem because she shot 21 under par in this major championship, where it was just a miracle to get to 20 under par in a major championship played by the men just a couple of times. And that was like, oh my God, we can't do this. Versus 21 under on a new major, you're like, you kind of got to earn getting beat up a little bit. And so we come into this year and thinking, okay, well, Stacey Lewis isn't coming. Other players aren't showing up because they just don't want to deal with it, even though it's a very nicely run event. And what happens? First day, they make a terrible decision based on the weather forecast. They get it wrong. They send players out in bad weather. 45-mile-per-hour winds. I believe it was Jessica Korda, who was 2-under when they suspended play and then later wiped out the scores. She was playing with Laura Davies, and they crouched down in behind something because they were worried about debris and stuff like that flying around. And Jessica Korda says it's the most scared she's ever been on the golf course. So you have a couple of players who are kind of good shape. Chun and Korda, I think, were 2-under par. And then you had U.S. Women's Open champion Sung Hyun Park, who was, 5-over through 6 or 6-over through 5 or something like that. And 6-over through 5. And you go, okay, well, what are we going to do here? Are they suspend play? And then eventually they wipe out play. They wipe out the scores, which you can't do that in a major championship. You just can't. If you start a tournament, you don't change the scores until the tournament's over. And you don't even change them then. And it was just a terrible error from beginning to end, either to start the round in the first place or to let it keep going or whatever it was. Someone made a terrible mistake. And then later in the afternoon, after they've called play, wiped out scores, and said, oh, by the way, we're turning this into a 54-hole event, not even giving an entertained thought of going to a Monday finish, the weather was great in the afternoon. There were players from the LPGA sitting in their hotel rooms tweeting pictures of how lovely it looked outside late afternoon, that maybe they could have, played some golf. And that was just a huge mistake, all around a huge mistake. And then in the end, they just kind of got worse and worse luck as it went along on Sunday, when rain was forecast and the LPGA didn't move up the tee times enough. They tried to set this up so they could finish on Sunday and you'd have your 54-hole finish payoff. And you get into a playoff with Anna Nordqvist and Brittany Altomare. And Altomare looks like a deer in headlights on the first playoff hole tee. Like, how the hell did I get here and what the hell am I playing for? Nordqvist is probably thinking about what happened to the U.S. Women's Open the year prior when she lost to Brittany Lang, when she got penalized for moving that little grain of sand that really would have only been seen by a camera, but still moved it and then got a penalty and then lost the playoff, and then Diana Murphy butchered Brittany Lang's name and called her Bethany, and that was bad. And so you get into this playoff, it is just raining cats and dogs. Then it starts hailing. The green's taking on water on 18, which is just a ridiculous hole to begin with. It was a former par 5. They changed it to a 440-yard par 4 to close it out, which has a strange layout as it is. A very small green complex for a par 4 of that length. And just not a good hole in my view. And the both players can barely grip the club. They both flail it out to the right. They have to lay up on a par 4. They both miss the green badly with their third shots because it's just so stinking wet. So it's basically luck and the gift of science at this point as to whether or not it works out. And then somehow Altomare makes double when her chip shot after her third shot, for her fourth shot, hits in the hill and goes backward. That was just a bad performance. And then Nordqvist, who is not a good chipper of the golf ball, hits a pretty good one to about 4 feet, makes the putt for bogey to win the thing. So she's a two-time major champion now. She won the LPGA championship, now the Women's PGA championship. What was it, 8 years ago? So 2009, she finally gets it. Probably should have 4 or 5 majors at this point, but gets a second, very emotional about it. Altomare, I think, was just happy to be there and that it was done. and you kind of rushed off at Golf Channel where they're covering this in person and remotely, and all of a sudden the final putt drops, and then Mike Ritz, who kind of does the remotes for the European Tour most weeks, was doing it for this and kind of goes, all right, well, that's it. We're going to send it to Golf Central. And you're like, what the hell? This is a major. Like, you're supposed to have some kind of pomp and circumstance, some kind of lengthy interview, talk to Brittany Altomare. I mean, you do all these things at a major championship, if it's a major championship. From beginning to end, it was just a disaster. And there are some easy things that the LPGA could do here. I don't care if you have five major championships. I really don't. Because if you had five on the PGA Tour, let's just say we call the Players' Championship a major tomorrow, and we won't, but let's just say that we did. They have 49 tournaments in a year. The five biggest out of 50, basically, that's fine. That's the most important 10% of tournaments are major championships. I'm in. The LPGA does not have a 50-event schedule. At one point when Ty Votaal was commissioner, they had a bunch of really small events, and they had like 40-some-odd, and a lot of them were poorly funded, and they were okay run, but you basically had a Symetra Tour in the LPGA Tour, kind of like you have a Challenge Tour in the European Tour right now, and it was just not good. Just not good. And the LPGA now is kind of right-sized, 33, 35 events, 36 events, and they have five majors. So they have effectively the most important 15% of tournaments are majors. Nonetheless, it's your choice. You have 10 majors. How people take them seriously is up to them, but that you want to call them a major for your record-keeping purposes is fine. But the way that this major has been conducted since 2013, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 5 years of majors, has not been emblematic of a major championship. You've had two 54-hole finishes, so 40% of them. You've had rain delays in pretty much all of them. You had someone beat up the golf course in two of them. And I just don't see how you make it better in September. So and I saw this suggested from a couple of other players, and I thought about this just watching what was happening. So I think there's some organization around this or some interest around this on the LPGA. But the idea of moving the Evian to July, make it the third major championship, and take the place, maybe you just kind of do, take the place of the Women's PGA Championship, you move that to the end, so you have that on American soil, you play that in September, you make that the final major of the year, you can do your Annika Award there, you can kind of wrap up the year there, you can kind of wrap up golf season in the United States there, I think that's good. Then you move the Evian into that June-July time frame, really early in July. You can go there, the weather's better. The tournament was fine in July. There's nothing wrong with it. And you could play it as a major then. I know the Evian people wanted to probably go last so they could have all the pomp and circumstance, but this could just be the fun major. Like, that's a character you can be. The PGA Championship is not the fun major, it's just the other major. There is no fun major. But you could have that. You could have that with Evian, where there is a lot of pomp and circumstance. There are a lot of VIPs. Like, think about the Monaco Grand Prix on F1, where it's like, this is just a S-show week, but it's really cool and important because it's an S-show. So I think that you can do that. I think you could evolve to that. But right now, the LPGA has to figure out what to do with its fifth major. And they got to do it in a hurry, because next year, if this happens again, you might as well forget considering this as a major championship. That is on that precipice right now, that this may not count as a major championship. And I know that would stink for Lydia Ko to only have one major championship, but I think we're kind of there, where you say, okay, you know, we've had good winners. The winners have been good. You've had Pedersen. You've had Ko. You've had Ng Chun. You've now had Anna Nordqvist. Very, very good players winning this championship. So you can't say that the winners were duds, but in the end, you need to have this tournament be consistently 72 holes in pretty good conditions on a golf course that doesn't seem quirky and weird and in poor shape. That needs to happen in July. End of story. So I hope that works out for the LPGA. I hope they make the right decision. Mike Wann, as commissioner of the LPGA, who's been in this role close to 10 years now, has made very few mistakes in his role. This was one of them. And he can fix it really quickly. I'm sure the first 10 Masters didn't go very smoothly. I'm pretty certain the first 10 U.S. Opens and Open Championships didn't go very smoothly. Virtually certain, even though it was run by professional golfers, that the PGA Championship in its first 10 years did not go very smoothly. But you have less time and more visibility to figure this thing out in the 21st century than you did in the late 19th or the onset of the 20th. So this is an important situation. This should be priority one for Mike Wann for next year. Fix this major. Fix it. All right. Mike Wann may need someone to come in and kind of help him out figuring out the majors and in the order in which they're played. And you know who he could use for that. We're happy they are back with us for this episode of the 19th Hole Golf Show. That's ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? Mike Wann might be. Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click, and then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through their site within one day. There's no juggling emails, calls to your office. You simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. So find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, listeners of the 19th Hole Golf Show, and I know a lot of you own businesses and are doing great things, and you need people, so take advantage of this. You guys can post a job on ZipRecruiter for free. Absolutely free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/1919. That's ZipRecruiter.com/1919. One more time. ZipRecruiter.com/1919. All right. Back to our discussion here of another big event. But this one is in the future, just a couple of days from now. We get the end of the PGA Tour season. We get the end of the FedEx Cup playoffs. And that happens at the Tour Championship at Eastlake. That's this week. Starts off on Thursday. 30 guys qualify. No cut. Everyone has a quote-unquote mathematical chance of winning the $10 million prize at the end of the FedEx Cup. But regardless, every guy who gets in this field gets some pretty awesome benefits. You get basically $315,000 just for showing up. If you finish dead last in the tournament and therefore finish dead last somehow in the top 30 in the FedEx Cup standings at the end of the season, you make $315,000. Great week. That is the bonus you get for having a good year or at least a good playoffs. That's fantastic. Second, you get into three of the four major championships. So they took away, with the start of the FedEx Cup era, the idea that getting into the top 30 in the money list, which is how you used to get in the Tour Championship, that got used to get you into a bunch of major championships. Now it is the top 30 in the FedEx Cup. So if you get to the Tour Championship, you get into the Masters, U.S. Open, and British Open. Pretty great. You don't get into the PGA Championship, but it's pretty hard not to, just based on getting into that top 30. So more or less, you're going to get in there, unless you only had one good week all year, pretty much. And it wasn't a win. So you get into that, you get the money. It's pretty sweet. And I have to say, I really like going to the Tour Championship. I've been a couple times, I think three times, over the years. Haven't been a few years now, but I really like the event as a media person for a couple of different reasons. One, there are a few players. There are only 30 guys. So they're all at the end of the year. They all know there's something big on the line, but it's a pretty relaxed setting, all things considered. Because you can go at your own pace. You're not really competing with as many people for the resources on property. When you need to go play a practice round, you can do that. Take your pick of 30 guys, 29 other guys you want to go with, or go by yourself. Who cares? Plenty of room for everybody. Two groups per hole. You can play by yourself. Play everyone. They can play the whole tournament with guys by themselves. And the other part of it is just the cool vibe around East Lake, being a Donald Ross course that was kind of revived from a neighborhood that was kind of closing in around it, the East Lake area of Atlanta. It's turned into a kind of anchor, for lack of a better term, or a representation, albeit a private one and maybe a little swanky one, of what has happened in the neighborhood and how it has improved and how it's come along in about 25 years. And that change can happen and that something seemingly lost can be regained. So that's cool. I like that. And I think they made the right decision starting last year, flipping the nines. I never really loved finishing this golf course on that par three. I don't mind finishing on a par three. That's okay. You could have an exciting finish just like you would finish on a par five. You're taking the drive out of it from the par five, but you're effectively turning it into how can you make this hole special? And you entertain, albeit a remote, possibility of a hole in one. If you get a birdie, that could be a tournament-changing birdie for the win, just as it could be on a par 4 or 5. It doesn't matter. I just didn't like that it was a 230-yard par 3 to decide perhaps a $10 million prize. I just find that bizarre. But now that it's the ninth hole and you have a 600-yard par 5 finishing it, I think the course routes better this way. You go through the unique par 3, the kind of used to be 6, now it's not. Now it's 15 or 14 or 15. And that par 3 is so good. It's so dangerous and difficult. It's, again, a 200-yard shot almost all over water. If you miss right, you're dead. If you miss left, you're probably in a bunker, maybe remotely scared of going into the water with that shot. Bogey's possible. Birdie's possible. Much higher numbers are possible. You get a lot stronger holes, I think, flipping the nines to finish the golf course, although obviously 17 the old way was remarkable for what Bill Haas was able to accomplish in the playoff against Hunter Mahan, was it 6 years ago, when he won from the number 25 position, which makes him the only guy to have won from mid-20s or worse in the history of the FedEx Cup going into the Tour Championship. And I don't really see that happening this week based on how well everybody at the top end of the PGA Tour this year has played and is playing right now. I mean, you think about Spieth, P2, second place, the top 6 or 7 at BMW. You had John Rahm, who's played great throughout the playoffs. Paul Casey has been brilliant, was not his best at Conway Farms, but first two events was spectacular. Leishman was awesome, obviously won BMW going away. Finished in third at TPC Boston. Competent at the Northern Trust. You had Dustin Johnson win. You had Justin Thomas win. Hideki Matsuyama hasn't really been found here, but Ricky Fowler's played well. Again and again, you had Jason Day play two good events and a mediocre event. So really, all the people that you want to play well are playing well right now. And that makes it less likely that guys who are fortunate to have gotten in the tournament, guys like Patrick Cantlay, who played a great playoffs, really had a great season this year in a limited number of starts, did not miss a cut, and worked his way into the Tour Championship. In fact, worked his way into the top 100 in the world, where I think he was something like 1,600th in the world when he made his comeback at Pebble Beach. Now he's in the top 100 in the world, which, frankly, that is his talent level. That is where he belongs. And guys who have had good years, like Brian Harman kind of had a career year, Pat Perez had a career year, Jason Duffner got in a resurgent year winning Memorial. And those guys are probably all in that. I'm happy to be there and could make a lot of money if I have a good week, but I'm not going to win $10 million category. So you're kind of playing the tournament if you're them. You're focused on the tournament. Points don't really come into the equation. You're not going to win the $10 million, which is $9 million up front, $1 million deferred into that awesome pension plan that they have on the PGA Tour. And for them, you go, okay, well, I'm trying to win an $8.75 million tournament, a little bit more than $1.5 million if I win. If I win the tournament, I'm probably going to move somewhere into the 2, 3, 4, or 5, which means another seven-figure payday on top of that. Okay, I've got plenty to play for. Let's worry about the tournament first, though. So I think that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. If Jordan Spieth becomes the second player to have won the FedEx Cup multiple times. Tiger Woods did it in 07, 09. Then that's certainly interesting. I think that brings up, if he pulls off the double, he's the number one seed going into it, so he doesn't necessarily have to win the Tour Championship. But if he pulls off the double, wins the Tour Championship, and wins the FedEx Cup by consequence, maybe he is the player of the year. I don't know. But I still think it goes to Justin Thomas, but I think I would siphon some votes away. I just think it's a really great week, really good tournament. Unfortunately, it's played at a point in the year where, and I can tell you from the traffic numbers of the website, people are not as interested in watching the live golf while it's 1 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday because they're watching football, or baseball for that matter. But when you get to Sunday late afternoon, everyone changes the channel for 45 minutes to watch the end of the tournament. It's really funny to see. Hopefully in a couple of years, the PGA Tour will be able to end, will have this weekend at the end of Labor Day weekend. Maybe it's a Monday finish, maybe it's a Sunday finish. I don't know where they're going with that yet, but that's where this is going, and I think it's going to be better for golf that way. So, at worst, it's an interference with the first week of college football, which a lot of cupcake games. The way you could set that up, it would be totally fine. Saturday suffers, but Sunday's great. Monday's fine if you want to finish there. And I just think that we don't give enough credit to the FedEx Cup playoffs for what they are. Because before this concept was introduced in 2007, this time of year would be absolutely dead. We'd be having tournaments, and I wouldn't even want to talk about them because no one would be interested in them. Now we have four, which will become three probably, really great golf tournaments that people are interested in. And they have tremendous fields on really good courses, and they're well run, and they have meaning and consequence. That's cool. That's good. We should celebrate that and appreciate that. I do want to talk about the PGA Tour schedule for next year for just a second. It did come out today. I wasn't certain it was going to come out today, but they usually do it during this week of the season, obviously being the end of the season, and there's only one break week after the President's Cup next week before we're back at it at Safeway. But not much changed, but I did want to point out one interesting thing because it's a local to me because I'm in the D.C. area, but it is pertinent, I think, across the board, and that is Tiger Woods' event, which is now just called The National, is without a sponsor. Quicken Loans did not re-up after 2017's edition. I don't think that they're going to. The PGA Tour pulled, or the Tiger Woods Foundation and TGR Live pulled their deal with nearby Congressional Country Club, adjacent to last year's or this year's host TPC Potomac, to have the tournament there in 2018 and 2020. That was probably a contingency. It probably wasn't a straight pull, because the PGA Tour chooses to subsidize this tournament if they're unable to get a title sponsor for it in the coming months, then they would play it at probably TPC Potomac because it costs them nothing. So if they're going to subsidize it, why spend more to go to Congressional when TPC Potomac is perfectly fine? So they may do that. And then if they get a sponsor, maybe they can go back to Congressional and say, hey, what about the date? We want a bag for 18 to 20. So I think that's probably a contingency there. And it just, yeah, fine. They're going to keep it on the schedule, and they're going to support it for a year because it is Tiger Woods, and he doesn't deserve to have his tournament, just this one, now his secondary tournament beyond Riviera, slam shut in his face. But I just think with this date, the way this tournament is run and what the expectations are, an invitational tournament, obviously smaller field, that's nice, but it's played on a difficult golf course and a difficult setup pretty much every year, not so nice. Especially in between the U.S. Open, which is supposed to be difficult, and the British Open, which obviously another major championship has the potential to be difficult. Kind of in between, you want fluffy, fun tournaments where 20 under wins, like every week on the LPGA. And you didn't, it's just not what the National is. It's not what Tiger wants it to be. And so I think that's got to change a little bit. I think you got to loosen up a little bit, make it a little bit more fun, re-embrace I wish they had the July 4th date, so they can't do it fully, but embrace as much as possible patriotism and everything around that. I think that they could do that a little bit differently. Make it a little bit more family-friendly. Fireworks, the concert stuff they do is good, but more stuff like that. And just really embrace it. But we'll see what happens. We'll see if they get a title sponsor for it. All right, so next week we have the President's Cup at Liberty National Golf Club, so we'll talk about that during next week's episode. We'll recap what's happened here in Atlanta with the Tour Championship. Should be an exciting finish one way or the other. We'll go over the remainder of the season. And then, just a couple of weeks from now, we're going to kick off a new PGA Tour season. We will give you details, hopefully next week, on a weekly fantasy golf show. It's going to be a live video show that we'll splice into a podcast in some fashion. Again, we haven't figured out all of the details yet, but that's kind of the general idea for it, so keep a lookout for that. We'll be fielding your questions and trying to answer what you want to know about that week's golf tournament, players to look out for, and we'll have a whole lot more coming in terms of fantasy announcements, so stay tuned for that if you are a fantasy geek. If you're not, then you don't care. All right, until next time, I'm Ryan Balaji saying thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time on the 19th Hole Golf Show.